Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein.
Science! Science!
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This was our finest.
Okay, guys, welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Sean.
Okay, guys, last week we talked all about this one really big-ass bacteria that kind of defies a lot of our assumptions about prokaryotic cells. The biggest open question from that episode is how do any molecules of importance get across a cell that fucking big, right?
Right.
Now, there's a couple theories. We're going to explore all sides of this issue. but we are going to devote most of the time of this episode to Brownian motion, a physics principle, named after the brown noise. As you guys maybe know, the brown noise is the note that's hit that makes you instantly poop. Brownian motion, the way that the molecule moves is kind of like a guy prairie dogging.
Oh, yeah. Like in and out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a guy trying to push through a subway car who has to poop.
Well,
he's like in the squeezing of the bodies. So that makes the movement go the deeper out of the butt.
So not a lot of that was accurate, but I think the reason for this episode is that one of the main things that we thought constrained cell size was how difficult it can be for a molecule of pretty much fucking anything. ATP, or a protein, or oxygen, or water.
A tachyon.
How long it takes to get from one side of even a bacteria to the other side of a bacteria.
Okay. Right.
And I think that actually it's not totally intuitive why it would take a while, because bacteria are not very long.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it seems like, well, maybe it shouldn't really take all that long to do that. But actually, it takes a surprisingly long time.
Yeah.
So that's what this
especially
episode...
Especially a big-ass fucking hair single-cell organism, too.
Yeah, especially long there.
Yeah.
But
in general.
We're going to explain why it takes maybe counterintuitively longer than you'd think.
Right.
And then we're going to explain how all of that actually works and how biology kind of solves this problem.
Right.
So let's get into it.
Okay, so before your theories, let me give you my two alternate theories of how molecules move in cells.
Great.
One of them is Osmosis Jones is literally true.
Okay.
Right? Like, molecules have brains.
Sure.
And they, like, have metros and a mare
the
top.
Yeah, at the tippy
even
top.
Even feelings.
Oh, shit.
Are sentient. Maybe what? You remember from Inside Out.
Oh, I love that movie.
A lot of these movies are true. Because a lot of times movies will actually create a metaverse. By their existence. Kind of like a Schrodinger's film, if you will.
Oh, shit.
And once you watch the movie, it becomes real.
Uh-oh.
That's Willy Wonka. Nathan Fielder, the rehearsal. HBO, House of Dragons. Matt Brown, Doctor Who.
Wow, you are just pre-associating right now.
All right.
That is really
so that's theory one. Theory two, of course, and I know we get sick of me saying it, God wants the molecule to be there.
You are correct in the sense that I am sick of hearing it.
And theory three, quantum tunneling. I know you're sick of that one too, but clearly there's a little spooky action going on. One molecule is over here, and it plays like that game of telephone where it has a cup, and it goes like, and the other one like jiggles, and then they flip their spins, and
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So those are my three alternate theories. And let's just remember that they're all equally valid in Texas before we continue this Californian podcast.
Wow. Well, you just did a lot.
Republic of Austin, am I right?
I'm legitimately tired from listening to you. Okay. So the first realization I'd like people to have is that the inside of a cell is kind of like being in this big bubble, and that there's this lipid membrane, and right. it separates the outside from the inside. And you can kind of imagine, if you want to, for the sake of this, thought experiment.
Don't listen. You have to.
Yes.
Do
that,
it.
That the inside of the cell is kind of like a subway car. Okay. Mm. And you're an enzyme slash person trying
like
to go.
One in China.
Like you're like trying to commute. You're trying to commute.
Yeah.
And you're an enzyme in the subway car, and you need to get really from one side of the right. subway car to the other. You just need to walk down the right. subway car.
And it's a packed subway car.
Yeah.
I mean, this is actually kind of a thing that I didn't really think about until reading your notes, is like when we're talking about things that are the length of molecules. Well, water is a molecule.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's floating through empty space. Even floating itself is not empty.
Right.
Right. It's right. like bumping around things that are not that much smaller than it.
Yeah. So to have you understand, you know, like being in a subway car, like a very packed subway car, yeah. is basically close
like
to what
New
it's
York.
Like. Yeah. No, seriously. Because there is never a point where a protein or ATP or water is not touching some other molecule somewhere.
Right.
They are all just like fucking ass to ankles, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just like right up against each other. Yeah. And if you're the size of an enzyme, you're bigger than water, but you're like not that much bigger than water.
Right.
They're like little chihuahuas or something, kind of like fucking around with your legs, okay?
Yeah.
And they're jostling you around. And it's not just water molecules, because there are other enzymes in the cell, and there's all kinds of other molecules, and they're all just getting jostled and bumped around, okay? And actually, what's making that jostling happening is heat slash kinetic energy.
Right.
And so we're all just kind of bumping into each other. But you're an enzyme. You got a job to do. You literally just need to... Your job is to walk to the other end of the subway car.
Right.
Okay? The thing is that...
You don't have a brain.
You don't have a brain.
Right.
And you don't have legs.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to get to the other end of the subway car? Right? Because you're actually an enzyme. In order for you to get from one end to the subway car to the other, you need to get jostled over there.
Right.
And hoping that all the different ways that they're bumping you eventually lands you where you need to go. Okay?
Right.
Now, does that sound like you're pretty likely to get there? Or does that sound like a pretty fucked up way to get things done?
Right.
It doesn't sound very good.
Right.
Okay?
It does sound like I could imagine you getting to the end of the subway car eventually, but it's kind of like Snowpiercer. It's a lot of detours.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit's
lot gonna
happen
on.
Along the way. Yeah. Okay, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to kind of illustrate this even further with another way of looking at it that
nice.
Involves coin flips.
Okay, cool.
My name is Jimmy Coconuts, and I'm here to talk to you about beer! Beer, beer, beer!
Yay!
Listen, guys, beer is very bad for you. Okay, I'm being serious. Beer has high caloric content, and also, it's part of many people's alcoholism. Beer kills a lot of people every year in America, all right? You should try coconuts. I'm not even saying that as a coconut salesman, I'm being serious. Coconut milk's much better for you. So is cum corn, Jimmy's own cum corn. But a lot of other things, too. This is not about money, okay? I'm just worried about beer in America. You guys all gotta stop drinking beer, all right? This is Jimmy Coconuts, okay? We all gotta look out for each other, all right? These are dark times. So thank you, and have a good night.
All right. So when you're in a real subway car, you can maybe make little steps to the left and right,
right
instead of just front and back, right? But that's too complicated. So for the sake of this argument, we're in a subway car where we can only move backward or forward.
Right.
Okay? And if you were doing this experiment yourself out there,
yeah.
you could simulate getting randomly jostled by a coin flip.
Right.
Where since you are getting randomly pushed around by all this stuff, it's about a 50-50 shot whether you move one step forward or one step backward.
Yeah.
Okay? So you could do that. You could stand at one end of a subway car, flip a coin, and if it's heads, you take a step forward, and if it's tails, you take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'd find is that every once in a while, you'll have several heads in a row.
Right.
And you'll actually end up ahead of where you were before.
How many was it in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern? It was like 52?
Ooh.
How many coin flips did they have in a row?
Yeah, I can't quite remember.
And they were like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not good. So,
They should
can...
revise Romeo and... Or Romeo and Juliet, wow. They should revise Hamlet to include scenes from that play.
Dude, that'd be cool.
That'd be fun.
I'd be into that.
It'd be better.
It would be better.
In fact, let's just not do Hamlet.
So, like, basically... You could flip the coin, and legitimately, you could end up on the other side of the subway car.
Right.
But the situation is, with a fair coin and a 50-50 odds, right, if you flip it enough times, you just end up back where you were.
Right.
You'll take steps forward, you'll take steps back, and then you'll just end up where you were, okay?
Bummer.
And so, at best case scenario, you might get kind of lucky with a stretch of heads and then actually end up on the other side of the subway car.
Is that why some people just randomly die? It's because they got too many coin tosses wrong in a row and their cell, like the molecules didn't move.
They're like, fuck this. Well, by the end of this episode, I'm going to explain why random walks are simply not good enough for how quickly we need things to react in our bodies. So, in the subway car, the thing is, reality is 3D. Okay, right. And we just gave an example with this coin flip where it's front and back.
I'm pretty sure reality is encoded on the event horizon of a black hole, Sean.
Oh, shit.
I'm pretty certain reality is two-dimensional.
Dude.
Yeah.
Galaxy brain. So, you know, the reality is that being inside of a cell is actually a little bit more complicated than if you were standing in a big room.
Right.
Because standing in a big room, sure, you can walk forward, backward, left, right, you know, all of those kinds of directions. But in a cell, you could also go up. You could take steps up or down, right? So you literally can move in any direction in the three dimensions.
Makes it even harder to get where you need to go.
Exactly. So in principle, it's still a probabilistic kind of getting jostled around.
It's like if you were Spider-Man in that subway car, because you could...
Yeah, you're...
Yeah, gets nowhere.
Right. And so that's one reason why we thought bacteria have to stay small.
Right.
Why basically we need kind of a short subway car to increase the odds that with all of this coin flipping, you will end up in a useful place where you can actually do your job as an enzyme.
Okay.
And if you were to look inside of a human cell at a specific enzyme made on one end of a cell, if you just do the math on how long it would take for it to actually end up in any specific place on the other side of the cell, it would take way too long.
Right.
It would take so long that your cells would never react to anything in time.
Right.
So, how do cells actually react much faster than random walks / diffusion should allow?
Hmm.
Right? So let's take a break. When we come back, I'll reveal it. I'll reveal the way that biology has solved this problem.
One theory.
You son of a bitch.
The following is an actual advertisement.
Our sponsor for Petri Dish is a product that I literally have been using every day, Athletic Greens. So I started taking Athletic Greens because, you know, maybe if I wasn't a garbage person, then I would actually be cooking completely balanced meals and eating them for every meal of the day and taking them into work and all this stuff. But just realistically, I don't have the time or energy for that. You know, like I'll do some meal prepping and I'll cook some things, but realistically, sometimes I just eat junk food or something. And it's a really good way to be able to get a bunch of vitamins and nutrients that normally you could get in a very well-balanced diet. But hey, let's be realistic.
Is this like a smoothie? What is it?
Do you want me to describe that earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the way that Athletic Greens comes is in powder form, okay? And what the powder is it's a powder of things like spirulina and a bunch of other greens, vegetables essentially, right? And so it has over 75 different vitamins. It's kind of like taking a multivitamin pill.
Right.
Except because you're usually taking it in some kind of food or drink form, it's a little bit more bioavailable. You're absorbing it a little bit easier. And it kind of tastes good.
Right. Vitamins, a bullshit. Except in Athletic Greens.
No, I think just the broad point.
Yeah.
The broad point is that vitamins are real. Our bodies do need them.
Right.
It's just that a lot of times people will not have a well enough balanced diet to actually get all the vitamins they need.
Right.
And Athletic Greens gives a good way to be able to get that. When it comes, they typically recommend sort of the base way to do it is to dissolve the powder in some water and you like shake it up in this little shaky container they give you. I thought that was pretty good, but I kind of like it mixed in with some Greek yogurt. So that's the way I've been eating
it. That sounds good.
I think it's fun.
Guys, let me tell you something. You know, there's two guys who talk in this pod, me and Sean. One uses Athletic Greens, Sean. I don't. And, you know, I'm not looking too hot these days. I'm not looking too great. Look, you know, I look worse than Sean, and Sean has recently had a dead man's knee implanted into his knee. So you know.
That's great.
And I think a lot of that comes down to Athletic Greens.
That's beautiful. Look, so one of the cool things about getting an Athletic Greens subscription now is that the subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, like an extra vitamin D supplement, which is important because, frankly, almost none of us get enough vitamin D in our diet. It's one of the most common issues with people is that they'll have low levels of vitamin D. And so this is a good way to get it. And, you know, it's all year round, including those winter months when we're all staying inside.
Yeah. Well, or those summer months when you're still staying inside.
I like computer games. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to, I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, dude.
I've been playing a lot of Path of Exile. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that's affordable. It's on par with having a multivitamin, right? And it's been reviewed a lot. Over 7,000 five-star reviews, according to the ad copy.
All from scientists. So it's been peer-reviewed.
Well, at the end of the day, there's nothing really woo-wee-woo about this product.
Right.
It's vitamins in powder form.
Right.
Mix it with some stuff and eat it.
Right. I'm a skeptical guy. A lot of health stuff, I think, is... I'm skeptical about. But this is sure shit. It's like a bunch of vitamins.
It's pretty straightforward. And I guess here's some ad copy I'm supposed to read verbatim. Whoa. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. That's actually true. I will say one place where vitamins play a really big role is in the functioning of your immune system. And so if you're not eating a well-balanced diet, your immune system can have some detriment to it
due to
not having enough vitamins. So, you know, it's just one scoop in a cup of water every day or with some Greek yogurt. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make
it
easy.
That shit is expensive, dude.
Yeah, it can add up for real. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/emerging because we're an emerging podcast. That's what they've decided. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging, E-M-E-R-G-I-N-G, to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
It's kind of like how poor people call themselves lower middle class. Emerging pod, I'll take it. Anyway, guys, go get this shit.
That is exactly what it's like.
Go buy Athletic Greens.
You are right. So, luckily...
Oh, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. We're back now.
After censoring all my content. Leviticus is clear.
Beep that, please, Stacey. Beep that. Luckily, cells do not put up with that random walk shit. So to begin with, if the room size quickly makes random walk shitty, then one option is to make smaller rooms, right? And that's one of the reasons why organelles do exist, is to split up really big spaces inside of a cell into more manageable, smaller spaces.
Another one is to do what Vancouver does and have mixed units. So you can all be local. You can all live on the same block where you work.
Exactly. So living local is actually a strategy that happens in our cells.
Thank God we're not like that in LA. Am I right? Because de facto segregation... it's just like so much better.
Like a lot of times the place where an enzyme lives, I'm just going to let it slide. I'm not going to
engage. You're not going to say
anything? I'm not going to engage.
People might think I really believe that.
I'm not going to let you walk it back. A lot of times...
you stay in Culver City with your time.
An enzyme will actually live in the cell. It'll rest in the cell near the spot where it needs to do its work.
Right.
Okay. And oftentimes, different tasks within a cell, even bacterial cells, will happen in sort of these localized areas, even if in bacteria they're not separated by a membrane. They'll just stay tethered to a spot.
Cool.
And then they'll do their job in that little spot. Now, one potential issue with that is that you might have a task that needs to happen all over the cell.
Right.
And in that case, you might need to make many copies of that enzyme and tether it to a lot of different spots. And that gets energetically kind of more expensive. But that's kind of a cost benefit to actually getting the job done, which it might not if you just let it be a random walk, right? So another option is to take a 3D walk, which is very complicated, and turn it into either a 2D walk or a 1D walk.
Right, okay, well, what does that entail?
Right. It's kind of like constraining the space so that you only have so many options to move in.
Right.
Okay, and so one example of this is that the proteins that sit on your DNA and recognize certain spots of your DNA... don't do that by a 3D walk.
Right.
Okay, and the reason for that is so that there are certain proteins, they recognize a segment of DNA and might make it so that that part of DNA gets read more often or something like that. If what happened was them just 3D walking all the fuck over the cell, all over the nucleus, and then it bumps into the DNA, and then it looks to see if it's the right sequence, and it's not, and then it just floats away and tries to bump into it again... it would literally never find the correct sequence.
Right.
What it does instead is once it bumps into the DNA, it grabs on. It doesn't matter if it's the correct sequence or not.
Right.
But then it slides.
Right.
Either forward or backward.
That's cool.
In a 1D random walk. So it'll get jostled forward a little bit, and all the while, it's looking for the right sequence of DNA.
Like a skateboarder.
Sure, yeah. And then sometimes it gets jostled back a little bit, and then it's still looking for the right sequence of DNA. And eventually, getting jostled around, it might come across the right sequence and then bind down on that sequence and just there, right? And so that's one example of turning a 3D walk into a 1D walk.
Right.
But we also turn 3D walks into 2D walks by putting stuff on our cell membrane. Because once you're on the cell membrane, you can't go off the cell membrane.
Right.
Now you're stuck going left, right, backward, or forward on the cell membrane. So that's another way, is we'll tether proteins to the cell membrane to restrict the options for the random walk.
Okay.
And so these are all ways that biology has basically solved this problem. There's also something called a Brownian ratchet, which is basically making it so that you make it less likely that you'll take a step backward. Like, you're getting jostled all over the place, but if someone's trying to push you back, you, like, stand your ground. All
right.
Kind of thing. Stand your ground!
Don't let them push you around.
Yeah, so then, so you're getting jostled around, but instead of a 50-50 coin flip, you've turned it into, like, a 60-40, right? Yeah. And that means
Well, you have the gun, so I think it's 100-0, really. I know we have this pretense of victimhood, but I think you always have that one gun in hand, didn't you, buddy?
So what that means is that on average, you'll actually end up moving forward because the odds are in favor of you moving forward over time.
Right, right. Well, what about in the big old bacteria, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, this all makes sense for eukaryotes because we got all these things to hinge ourselves to, but like in this long-ass bacterium, don't we kind of still have a problem here? Like,
well, so the long bacteria does almost all of these solutions.
Oh, okay.
It does the living local by having the pepins spread out all across, right? All
right.
And then it also segregates its space. It has a central vacuole. It has these little organelles, right? And then also, all bacteria are able to tether things to their membrane and stuff like that, right?
So
pretty much all of these options are getting used by this giant bacteria.
Very cool.
It's taking advantage of all of that.
So this is not a mysterious question at all. We've solved the problem, right?
This bacteria is one of the first ones where we've seen all of these mechanisms of solving random walk problems within a prokaryote.
Right. Which, like, shouldn't actually surprise us that much, right? I mean, kind of like what we had a digression about in the last episode.
Right.
It makes sense that as we learn more about things, we would revise our initial categories.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about it for me is that every time I read one of these papers, I am surprised at first.
Yeah.
And then I remind myself that, like, well, we already know prokaryotes are more complicated than that.
Right.
But that inherent bias against prokaryotes and them being, like, simpler things, like, runs pretty deep. And I keep forgetting and then relearning how complicated prokaryotes can be.
Right.
And probably, the world probably has a lot of giant bacteria out there that we just literally did not know to look for. Now, you know, we can start finding them. And
there's probably a person out there who's just like one big unicellular, like Johnny Knoxville or something.
Oh, shoot.
It's probably just like a bacteria.
You going after the Knox right now?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think you'd agree.
That's true.
Like, I think like, and he doesn't have any of these cool methods. like a poop as it just like brownie in motion its way down his body before it finally comes out.
Well,
that's why he can survive so many hits. There's no organs.
That makes sense. So one of the things that all of this kind of points to is some of the questions about how the evolution of eukaryotes happened,
right?
Because there was a thought of a stepwise progression of prokaryotes don't have any organelles, eukaryotes do. So at some point, a eukaryote...
There has to be this discrete moment.
...created these organelles, and then that's what made it a eukaryote.
But this stuff is fluid, bro, It's like sexuality.
Probably the evolutionary history of this kind of organization is probably much more complicated than that.
Everybody's in the hot puddles of prehistory, baby.
That's great.
Forget you can't, whatever it is. We're all just bits
all
and molecules.
All the same in the dark,
daddy.
Buddy. Yeah. All right. That's great. All right. So
I'm right, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I get to be right.
Yeah, you're right this time. And it's beautiful.
Let's put the kibosh on this episode.
Yeah, let's say thank you to Stacey Song, our sound lord and engineer.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you, Brian and Griff.
And look, we got an email address. It's petridishpod@gmail.com. We have a Twitter account. It's @dishpodcast. And we got that patreon.com/petridish. Okay? And we're going to see y'all next time.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Da 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 da. today.